Yes, ma'am. Thank you so very much. Good morning, sir, and what is your name, sir?
I can barely hear you.
Oh, that's my fault. Okay, can you hear me better now, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is your name, sir?
My name is Robert Allen Larkins.
Becky's a Corolla.
Or Larkins.
Okay, sir. Okay, I believe that, who's that? That's you, Mr. Johnson. Let me just ask those who are present, is anybody here for Mr. Larkins this morning? Anybody, because I don't have a list yet. Okay, so apparently Mr. Johnson, you have a list. Nobody's here for him, okay. The Honorable Mr. Johnson will be conducting your hearing, sir.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your name and your AEC number for us for the record, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Robert Allen Larkins.
Okay.
DOC number 066545.
Okay, so you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. As I told you before, I want to introduce you to the members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. So to my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. To her left is the Honorable David Milton, the minister. Middle, sir, is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my left is the Honorable David Mills, sir. My name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be acting as your panel chair this morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Larkin, I am going to go over some information. When I go over that information, I will get back with you just to make sure that if anything in here is incorrect, sir, or you need to correct it, that you can correct that information for us, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Larkin is here on parole here. He's here for absolute discharge of parole to his next consecutive sentence. He's currently serving a sentence for armed robbery, a 7-year sentence for armed robbery. His sentence in May is now 9/24/18. He became parole eligible on April 17th of 2016. If granted parole to his next consecutive sentence, he will be paroled to his final sentence, which is a dangerous drug violation, and it's a 1.6-year sentence for that, and his sentence end date on that would be October 1st of 19. He has was previously serving a term for that has expired. One of them was for burglary first degree, unlawful use of means. That his sentence has expired, and a murder in the second degree sentence, which he served a 20-year sentence, which has also expired. He's just currently on the last two sentences that he has, which I just spoke on, which was the armed robbery and the dangerous drug violation. There was some question, and Mr. Larkins, you can help me with this. There was some question. I see that there were some letters that you had wrote, reference your earned release credit date, and that you had wished away parole, and we held a hearing and served it as a waive, and you hadn't had it, you didn't, that wasn't your choice to waive your parole hearing, sir?
No, sir, it wasn't.
Okay, and so we're conducting that hearing at this time. I think it's dated back in March when you signed your application, so we're conducting that hearing now, and I believe that all your time comp information has been corrected. Is that right?
Well, my time comp information has never been corrected. I never received a time comp correction on my dates.
Okay.
I had an unreleased credit date of October 22nd of 2016, but I never received anything saying why that date was not honored. When I went to the parole board August of 2016, I had an unreleased credit date on the 7-year sentence. And when I got when I went to the parole board, I was denied the first time and was told to come back. And I explained to the board that I would only have roughly 2 months to my ERC date at that time, and they told me that that was up to, for me, I had to deal with that issue with the time computation, Federal Services Bureau.
Okay.
So I never got resolved as far as why my ERC date was ever taken out of the computer.
All right, so, but you do have, we are correcting the date of the status of your parole here, is that correct?
Excuse me.
We are correcting the status of your parole hearing, that you do want to have a parole hearing, and you did not waive your parole hearing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, sir, you were actually sentenced on February 12th of 1993 to a 20-year sentence for a robbery, for murder, a manslaughter, murder in the second degree. And that was a flat sentence that you actually received. That sentence expired, as I talked about before. You had an armed robbery, forging, fraudulent schemes of a credit card that were also there. According to your institutional progress report, sir, if you were released, which we're looking at paroling you to your next consecutive sentence, but if you were released, in your release plans, you said that you would stay with Emma Robbins Larkins at 4244 North 67th Avenue. It says that you would live with your wife. She's going to support you until you're able to find employment, and they just submitted 6 letters from family and friends on behalf, which are attached. Is that right, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. And I'm also looking at your discipline actions that you have received, some recent discipline action, which the last one looks like was February 9th to 17th. You received a disrupting counselor. Can you tell me what that was about?
Yes, I got it from a resolution. I was in the shower on Christmas morning. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. Usually they conduct count around 4:30. When I got in the shower, I thought they had already counted, because it was around 4:30. When they conducted count, I didn't even realize that the officer was in the building. The way the buildings are set up, they're not running, so you have to actually go down the hallway to go to the shower. So, on Christmas Day, I was out of place, I guess, during count, so.
Okay, and I see that was, like you said, informally resolved, sir. But you do have, in July 7th to 15th, you have a possession of drugs that you were found guilty on. What was that, sir?
I got found in possession of roughly three joints of synthetic marijuana.
When you say synthetic marijuana, are you talking about spice?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. And then, and also in May of 15, sir, you were guilty of a minor disobeying a verbal. What was that about?
15?
Yes, sir. May 6, 2015.
I don't recall receiving a ticket in May of 15.
Okay, well, it says May 8, 2015, disobeying a verbal, you were guilty, and it was a minor.
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember what it was, sir.
Okay.
I would have to see the ticket. I don't remember getting the ticket other than the possession charge.
Okay, so I see that you've also done some training while you were in there. It looks like the last training that you took was completed in August of 2016, was a re-entry program, sir?
Yes, sir.
And prior to that, your last class that you took was in 08 for cognitive thinking. Have you taken any other classes or anything since that time, sir?
No, all of the classes, cognitive reconstruction, smart thinking, thinking straight, all those classes I have completed. So most of those classes are for inmates that, it's like a first or on a need basis. Like, if you've never taken the classes, then they put those inmates in those classes. If you take them, they don't feel like you need to take them again, so they always give them to the people that, that were required to take them. So because I've already completed it and I have a full-get certificate in custodial and maintenance, I earned my phase 3, I was just required to continue to maintain a job, which I've always maintained, employment, professional evaluations, And to that same disciplinary priest, and just try to be a, you know, a good representative for the other inmates, younger inmates in the system. So I've always tried to do that, although I've made mistakes. I've never claimed to be perfect, but I've tried to be a good example for those around me. I've stayed away from gang activity and any kind of negative behavior such as that. I've always maintained a decent rapport with the staff as well as inmates on the yard. And so I did, as, you know, as much as I could to, you know, I've always tried to be a better person each and every day. I've always tried to maintain a positive attitude. So.
Okay, sir, I'm looking at you. Also, I've had a few parole hearings. You had a parole hearing in 1988, in which you were granted a 31412A, and then you, in 90, you went for an early parole that was denied, and then in 90, you were revoked. So I was trying to find some information on that, but I couldn't really get it clear in my mind. So what happened when you were paroled in 1997? 1988.
I was from a halfway house.
Uh-huh.
I was 19 years old. I was a kid, and I just was immature, young. I don't really have a home, but I can't, you know, explanation or excuse that's going to justify those actions at all. They were reckless. I wasn't thinking straight. I was a kid.
So you also had a parole hearing in August of 16, and you were denied, and then you had another parole hearing in March of 17, in which you denied. I'm assuming that, looking at the records, that's a parole hearing that we thought you waived, however you hadn't waived, so we're conducting that hearing now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, so looking at the pre-sentence investigation, from what we have here and the police reports, this involved a couple of armed robberies, and which had happened in December of 1991. There was one armed robbery where you went into the store, threatened the clerk with a knife, also left the store, however you were confronted by two, forced him into the ground, stole a car and the suspect's water, fled the scene. On December 4th, the officers responded to a sophomore mall assistant investigation of a forgery. You were using, along with someone else, a stolen credit card that was stolen during the robbery. Is that right, sir?
No, that's not correct at all.
Okay.
Using the stolen credit card was correct, but the armed robbery aspect was incorrect. I don't know where that came from. I was never apprehended or taken to the ground. None of that ever happened. I was page two when I was arrested on the second degree murder charge, and I was charged while I was in the county for the armed robbery, because I was told that I was picked out of the lineup of taking the credit card that I was using, that I pleaded no contest, because I didn't feel like after I got the 20-year sentence, I wasn't gonna risk going to trial and getting it. That was a little over too much for me at that time. I never robbed anyone. I just didn't feel like, you know, the circumstances, I couldn't win in court, so thus I took a plea bargain and played no contest. For those, that situation that happened, I've used the credit cards, the wrong robbery, to this day, I can maintain, I've never robbed anyone with a knife.
Okay, so
that never happened.
So, sir, and you have stated that in the beginning, and what you just said exactly is what is in the pre-sentence report, that you pled no contest because you felt as though you weren't going to win, so you pled no contest to the armed robbery, and you stated that you did not do the armed robbery, and you also said that you were guilty, just as you said, of the forgery that occurred, at the credit card that you actually were using, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. So, Mr. Larkins, why don't you tell this board, in your own words, exactly what was going on with you during that period of time and how you got involved in these incidents as well as the murder, which has already expired.
Well, as far as you want me to talk about the murder first or just the armed robbery?
Well, why don't you talk about the murder first, sir?
Well, the murder was a situation to where it was, you know, argument pursued and it just, it got out of hand. Weapons were pulled and I just wish I could go back and take that right away. I don't, it was senseless. It was a gang situation and it was myself and some other guys that were with me. And it was, you know, we had a standoff it was an AFPM parking lot and things got out of hand. I was 22 years old. I was caught up in a life that's no longer me today. And I did commit the crime. I've never considered myself to be a killer. I'm not a malicious individual. You know, I'm a very compassionate person. I just think that it was just a bad time in my, I was just caught up on those streets. And I ended up making a bad decision that, you know, caused me to spend 20 plus years of my life in prison.
Okay.
The armed robbery, like I said, that was just, it was a situation where somebody's credit cards got stolen. They were, actually, the credit cards were stolen in a field, and myself and a friend of mine, associate of mine at that time, we picked the credit cards up. And like I said, I was young, I was out there in those streets and we were going to different stores and we were using the credit cards. And one day, I think we were at Christown Mall in Phoenix and we were using the credit cards and that's where everything went bad because I guess they came up stolen and that's how I went to jail.
Okay, in the report, I thought it said that you didn't commit the armed robbery, but you knew who did it, but you weren't a snitch, you wasn't gonna tell. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, sir, so I see that you have some, you know, completed some training. I do see the letters attached from your family. I also see a letter that's attached here from your wife. Which after reading her letter, I see she don't play, does she?
No, she don't. She doesn't play. She's the best thing. We grew up together, so we were friends long before we got married. But yeah, she's the best thing that ever happened to me, and I'm just excited to be able to, you know, start my life again. I would like to say something to the board, if I may.
I'm going to give you that opportunity, sir. I also want you to explain to the board how you have changed and that your life and what you're doing now is changed and how that's going to make a difference.
Okay, absolutely. So I can start now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. To the panel, I would just like to say thank you for seeing me today. It's an honor. I'm not the same 22-year-old man that I was in 91. I've made mistakes along the way, but I've always, you know, gone through the maturing process and tried to be a better person each and every day. I've acquired skills since I took vocational classes. I'm a hard worker. You know, I have excellent evaluations. I've always tried to maintain and work on my people skills. I think that allowing me to go back to society would be very impressed and I think it would be a good decision on your part. You know, I don't think you would regret it at all. Again, I'm a hard worker. I do have a plan as far as, you know, a 2-year plan and a 5-year plan for my life. Like I said, I went to school for custodial maintenance, but I always knew how to do black carpet, clean carpet. So that's something that I plan on incorporating with Spartan Janitorial Service. I've kept jobs in here that allowed me to practice my craft with having porter jobs as well as administration porter jobs to work on the floors and such. I'm excited about getting out. I assure you, I'm not the same individual that I was when I was 22, 23 years old. I'm ready to go home. I'm a little nervous, so excuse me for, stuttering here. I just want the panel to know that, I'm a completely changed man. I do everything I can nowadays, but I know that everything doesn't have to be told in all their behavior. I feel like I'm for a 48-year-old man, I'm mature, I'm educated enough to be able to function in society. Although I've been gone for so long, I don't think that I'm that institutionalized to where I would be overwhelmed if I was to be released. I do have family support, so I ask the court to show leniency in my case today. And I just thank you all for allowing me to be here to speak my, to say my piece.
So, Mr. Larkin, do you have a drug problem? Because you have several tickets throughout the years for possession. You were caught, you said, with three cigarettes of spice. What are you doing about that, sir?
Well, at that time, I had just lost my mom. And I haven't had any substance abuse in over 15 years up until that time. I had applied to get some good time back for a ticket, and I three times I was denied. I haven't had any tickets. I was doing everything I was supposed to do. On the cusp of me getting parole eligible, I lost my mom, and I was just overwhelmed. It was just one of those situations to where, I just made a bad decision at that time. There's no excuse other than I was just going through mourning, and I was stressed out. I had no outlets, and I really at that time didn't have anybody on the yard that I could really talk to as far as what I was dealing with. And my wife coming, she would come visit me. I can talk to her on the phone, but it was one of those situations. I was just at a dark time. I've been going away from my mom over almost 26 years now. And at that time, I had just seen her like a month before at a food visit. So to lose her so close and being so excited about being parole eligible and maybe having a shot at going home, to lose her, it was a very dark time for me. I made a bad choice, and it cost me to receive another year and a half. That's the only major ticket that I had in the last 5 years. That's the same ticket that I ultimately got charged with. That's where the 1.5 years came from.
Okay. So actually, had it not been for that bad decision, then you would be parole eligible and not looking at going to your next consecutive sentence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And since then, I've maintained employment. I have, other than the informal resolution within and shower on Christmas Day, I haven't had one single incident. I've always maintained employment. I had just came from Winslow Complex here. And in Winslow, I worked in for Verizon, the medical unit Winslow Complex. And I worked with the FHA administrator and the nursing director. I had a job there. And I learned a lot there, just being around professional people and just seeing what professional people do on a day-to-day basis. So that was very enlightening and educational for me as well. So I ended up coming down here because I wanted to get some counseling before I go home. I've been gone for almost 26 years now. So I just wanted to make sure that I was sound, you know, just be able to have some, you know, have some kind of counseling sessions, you know, before I go home. I just want to make sure that I'm mentally prepared to go back to society. So I came down because Waynesville is in the medical complex. They brought me down here to Tucson. So that's why I come down here.
All right, Mr. Larkins. I'm going to see if the rest of the board, if any of my board members have any questions. So, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Can you hear me, Mr. Larkins?
Yes, sir.
Just a quick question. I know you've talked about this. This is more from my understanding about you. It seems that the majority of the crimes in question that resulted in you being in prison happened when you were about 22 years old, correct?
Yes.
You've said that you've changed, but can you explain the difference between like how you looked at the world when you were 22 and willing to be involved in crime from the person that you are now? Like, where were you then and where are you now?
Well, I think that, you know, as a young kid, you never, you know, when you're involved in things, you never feel like you're going to get caught. You don't really understand or weigh the consequences to your actions. You know, you just do things and you don't really, you know, you don't really take the time to think. And one thing about prison from then to now is you have nothing but time. So it teaches you, you have to think. And sometimes you can overthink certain things. Some things isn't as complicated, and some things you need to put a little bit more thought process into. And as I've gone through, you know, through this journey, one of the things I used to like to, I'm very into politics, and one of the things that I learned from watching, like, the weekend shows, Good Morning America, or I'm not Good Morning America, but America This Week, and the different debate shows is that I sit and watch how the politicians would argue and debate their cases, but they always remain civil, and they always did it you know, even though they overtalked each other sometimes, they still remain civil, and I took a lot away from that, and it helped me to learn to listen to other people's opinion and to respect other people's opinion, even if I didn't agree with it. So that helped me to deal with even situations in prison, that everything doesn't have, you don't have to get mad, everything has to be barbaric. You know, you can always walk away from a situation instead of feeling like you have to go, you know, you have to fight. And I didn't always feel that way. And as I went through the maturing process, you know, it was like, you know, that devil was still on your shoulders. You know, it's been times to where, you know, I can walk away from something that could have been a bad situation. And I walk away from my pride. I was like, man, you should have handled that differently. You know, you should, back in the day, you would have did this, that, and the third. And it's like, you know, that's when I started knowing that, you know, I made the right choice because, you know, my pride, I wasn't letting my pride cloud my better judgment. And the more that I did that and avoided certain situations and just start learning when to voice my opinion and when to hold back, you know what I mean? It helped me with my maturity. So I started handling things a little bit better, and I didn't let my pride cloud my better judgment. And so that's when I started knowing, okay, you're moving forward, you're starting to mature. And, you know, others tell you, you know, as you go through the maturing process about your growth. It's hard for you to see it when you're going through it sometimes until you're actually in situations. But, again, I think that just by the way I handle situations and the way that I look at the world, the things that I wanted when I was 22, I no longer want now. You know, I wasn't thinking about a family and having a family back then. I was too busy being wild. And now I think about family, I think about my future, I think about being out there. You know, I always wanted to be a popcorn coach because those were some of the best times in my life. And so I just wanted to be a mentor to kids and basically try to do what I could to keep them from coming to a place like this, you know, because this isn't for anybody. And if I can steer somebody away from this, you know, I'm happy to do so. So, yeah, it's just the things that I want now. The things that I learned when I was 30, I'm 48 now, I don't want it anymore. So I'm always, you know, going up through the maturing process, everything isn't about, you know, having a whole bunch of stuff, but just being around family, you know, being a builder of society. I don't want to be looked upon as, you know, just, you know, somebody that, you know, cringe when they see me. You know, I want to be somebody that can be proud of, you know, putting in a good part of their work and receiving that paycheck at the end of the day. I can work at McDonald's with a smile on my face today. I mean, it was a point in time when I would never work at McDonald's, or at least I said that. But I just don't have that type of pride anymore. You know, I feel like if I can work a 10-cent hour in here, I can work the minimum wage out there. You know, anything beats a blank. So, you know, I'm just excited to be able to get out and show my growth and my maturity and to be a pillar in the community.
Thank you, Mr. Larkins. I'm glad I asked that question because it certainly, we got a lot of information from you, and you shared quite a bit, and I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Larkins, it looks like in the information we have, it looks like there's restitution owed about a little over $1,600. Have you paid back any of that, or...
I haven't yet, ma'am. My sentencing was, I wasn't to pay it until I think the fourth month, the fourth month after my release, I was to begin and start paying on that restitution.
Okay, and you're still aware of that, and that's going to happen?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir.
Is the board, any other board members have any questions? Okay, Mr. Larkins, the board's getting ready to go into discussion. So prior to the board going into discussion, I want to give you the opportunity. Is there anything else you'd like to present to the board without repeating yourself before we go into discussion, sir?
No, sir. I'd just like to say thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Okay, Mr. Larkins, the board is going to go into discussion, sir. While we're in discussion, we're going to ask you to stay on the phone. However, we're going to ask you to remain silent. The board's going to go into discussion, and we'll make a determination as to what's going to happen to your parole, okay? And then we'll get back with you with our decision, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Larkins. The board is now into discussion. Mr. Larkin has been incarcerated since he's been 22 years old. He was involved in a robbery. He served a 20-year flat sentence for the actual robbery. Then he had a armed robbery in which he was to serve 7 years for the armed robbery. And then while he was incarcerated, he picked up another case for possession of dangerous drug violation in which he was sentenced to a year and a half. If he was paroled to his next consecutive sentence, he would actually be paroled to this year and a half sentence of the dangerous drug violation. I've read the report and gone through the information. He has taken some training, and he does appear to be a changed person and changed the way he's thinking in life. And I read the letters and hear from his family, with the one from his wife, Ms. Larkins, which I think it would be good for him. She seems to be a very stern and strong woman, and I think if Mr. Larkin was able to complete his last sentence and be released, that she would be a strong, stable influence in his life. And I'm looking at her letter, and one of the things she says in her letter is that I am no pushover. He's very, very, very direct in some of the things that she says. She was disappointed that he picked up this other charge, in which he picked up while he was in prison. However, she's you know, continued to stay with him. I am supportive of paroling Mr. Larkins to his next consecutive sentence, which would be a year and a half sentence for possession of dangerous drug, and deny him the absolute discharge. But I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board. Mr. Quinones.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Johnson. I just want to say that, I'm interested in all of these cases, and everyone inside the prison system is different, which is why it's, I guess, so important that we look at the totality of each case. I want to say I do like what I'm hearing. And where he's arrived in his mind at this stage of his development. It's been a long road for him, but I think it's extra interesting to hear where people have arrived when they've done, been involved in crimes at a very young age and have had to grow up inside the prison system. And I'm hearing some pretty healthy things. So I am supportive of you, Mr. Johnson.
I agree as well.
Yeah. All right, so therefore I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. Larkin home arrest.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Parole to his next consecutive sentence. All right, I'm going to make a motion to parole Mr. Larkin to his next consecutive sentence, and that would be my motion. His next consecutive sentence would be a year and a half sentence that he has for a dangerous drug violation, and that sentence end date is actually, at this point in time, October 1st of 2019.
Second.
Agreed.
Mr. Larkins?
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board has voted to grant you parole to your next consecutive sentence, which is your 1.5 year sentence for possession of the dangerous drug violation, sir. That is going to be the decision of the board. So let me just say a couple of things to you, Mr. Larkins. You know, you mentioned that you made some bad decisions, sir. You have on your last sentence means you right around the corner from getting out on your last sentence, sir. Please try to stay straight. Don't make a bad decision and have some more time tacked on to the time that you already have. So you have a year and a half left, and depending on how they do time comp, you know, would be coming out and eligible for parole, sir. So try to stay straight, sir. Keep your head on you, and hopefully when you get out, sir, you'll be a productive citizen, as you say, and get back with your family. And enjoy that time with your family. Enjoy the rest of your life, sir. I want to thank you for appearing before this board today, Mr. Larkins. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, and I thank the panel.
Okay.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.